This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor, Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
I am fine because Madonna's number one on the Billboard 200 Albums chart.
Where she's meant to be.
Where she belongs. The queen at her throne. I'm totally impartial.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with the numbers. Yes. The numbers are what they are.
He's just excited about the numbers.
I'm just, when you see your favorite artist succeed or be number one on something, you know.
For many decades running, yes, it's impressive.
Yeah, I'm sure when John Mayer or Justin Timberlake has their next number one, you'll be doing cartwheels too.
I'll always be helping by streaming too much.
Well, we'll be talking more about Madonna in just a second because, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we're talking about some big chart news from Madonna. And Bruce Springsteen.
Hey.
Together again at the top of the Billboard 200 chart for the first time in 34 years.
Crazy.
1985 all over again, as Keith's article says.
Yeah.
And how yet another superstar is denied a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, thanks to Old Town Road.
It's a very
12 weeks running.
That road just refuses to end.
And the new collaboration, the new steamy collaboration from Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, and why this particular pop star pairing is so potent. I hope all those P's popped.
Alliteration. Actually, is that alliteration?
Yeah.
Okay. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, why don't you subscribe to us on your favorite podcast provider? Because, you know, we're here weekly. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Okay, let's do the chart chat.
Chart chat.
Your eyes are not deceiving you. That is indeed Madonna and Bruce Springsteen at numbers 1 and 2 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart this week. The Queen of Pop's Madam X debuts at number 1, marking her 9th leader and 22nd top 10, while The Boss's Western Stars debuts at number 2, his 20th top 10. When was the last time these two music superstars were in the top 2 together? Well, it was way back in January and February of 1984.
It's pretty cool they were ever in the top two together previously.
The only time.
The timing really had to line up for both of these moments.
And you would have thought that it would have happened maybe more just because they've had so many albums and so many top tens. I mean, between the two of them, they've had 42 top 10 albums.
Right.
But yet, the only time they crossed paths in the top two was for 4 weeks in January and February of 1985. So, on the charts dated January 26th and February 2nd, 1985, Springsteen's Born in the USA and Madonna's Like a Virgin were numbers 1 and 2, respectively. Then, the titles flipped ranks on February 9th and February 16th. In total, Born in the USA spent 7 weeks at number 1, and Like a Virgin ruled for 3 weeks. Madonna continues to have the second most number 1s among all female artists, trailing only Barbra Streisand, who has 11.
I'm sure she's got Barbara in her sights.
Well, I think, I mean, if she really did, if she really cared, Madonna would churn out albums a little bit faster.
Sure.
Because it's been, her last studio album came out in 2015. It's been a little over 4 years.
Yeah.
So whereas Barbara, you can kind of count on a new album from her like probably every 2 years. I think
and you can also count on my mom to buy that album.
Well, and also if you look in the 60s, Barbara was like back in the 60s, you turned out an album like every 8 months.
Right.
It was fast and furious. It was much like it is today with hip hop stars.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that it went back to that.
Yeah, I have a theory about that, and we can talk about it on another podcast.
Oh, okay.
I have another theory about why songs are so short and how that is actually similar to something in the 1950s and 60s.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Dun, dun, dun. That could be an upcoming show. You never know.
Or Keith might just tweet it out later. Keep an eye out for Keith's thoughts.
I'm going to save it for the pod. Well, over on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, Lil Nas X's Old Town Road, featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, spends a 12th week at number one. And in doing so, blocks yet another song from hitting number one as Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down debuts straight in at number two. Now, if Calm doesn't go any higher, it will be the sixth track to be blocked from number one by Old Town Road and would break the record as the number one hit that has kept the most songs from hitting number one. As noted, online on Billboard.com by the Hot 100 chart manager, Gary Trust. He says that currently, Bryan Adams' Everything I Do It For You in 1991, and Percy Faith and His Orchestra's Theme from a Summer Place back in 1960, both held off 5 number two hits each. And it seems like, unless something really crazy happens, Taylor will probably stay at number two. But yeah, if the song becomes a big radio hit and can sustain itself for the next, you know, like couple months, you know, and by the time, in theory, Old Town Road should have subsided by then, you know, maybe like a new remix of You Need to Calm Down could kick in. She brings on like a Cardi B type guest rapper, and maybe she pulls a Girls Like You like Maroon 5 did.
Mm.
But maybe not.
I mean, fact that it didn't, that this one and this video and this particular moment did not stop Old Town Road just shows how crazy powerful it is.
Timing is everything. Also, it's an incredibly, hugely popular song. And I think Gary may have noted just sort of how wide the gap is between one and two.
It's ridiculous. There's an article on Billboard.com that talks about the most dominant number one hits on the Hot 100 of all time, and that's the songs that had twice as many chart points as their closest song on the chart. So,
I Will Always Love You is one of them,
yes,
right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Drake had one, too. I think it was In My Feelings.
And Adele's Hello was that sort of, but, I mean, this Old Town Road has been so big for so long, and I think nothing's been like this, I think, maybe since Whitney.
I don't know.
Don't quote us on this, folks.
Yeah.
Go
but
online.
But you might be wondering what other songs that Old Town Road has fended off in the last 12 weeks.
What are those, Katie?
Let me tell you.
Okay.
Because I was wondering too. Billie Eilish's Bad Guy. I'm kind of bummed about this one. It's like Billie has had such a moment, such a crazy, huge number one album on the Billboard 200, and you want her to have that number one hit to match.
Well, it's been sticking around at number two for a while.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe it will have its moment.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber's I Don't Care. One might have thought Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber teaming up would have been the one to stop it.
But no.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Shawn Mendes's If I Can't Have You, which I was just impressed that debuted right in number two.
Yeah, I was surprised
Shawn's
by that,
biggest
too.
Hit
yeah.
ever, immediately.
Yeah.
And then Taylor Swift, again, with Me, featuring Brendon Urie.
I mean, that on paper seems like that would be the natural, obvious
the
number
comeback,
one debut.
You know, hit after her Reputation era.
Huge video, performance on the Billboard Music Awards, you know, just...
Yeah, she did all the things. She, like, went back to do an interview. She did performances.
Did all the things that you would expect to help a number one single.
And then finally, Post Malone's Wow. He's had some number ones. He's fine.
Yeah, caveat for Posty. Wow actually had also reached number two before
Old Town Road,
but then it hit number two again during Old Town Road's reign, so we're still, it counts.
But of course, if you read Billboard.com at all, you know that we could do an entire show around number two hits that should have been number one. There's just a litany of them.
Hey, maybe that's another like future podcast.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to hear these podcasts? Let us know.
We've
got some podcast ideas we're just tossing out.
Katie and I can just ramble for a while about number two hits that should have been number ones. And
I mean, Ed Sheeran has had one of those. Didn't what's it called?
Yeah, that
Thinking Out Loud. Wasn't that held to number two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He eventually got to number one with that other one with Beyonce.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Thanks to a remix with
which
Beyonce.
Which was also, it was stuck at number two before the Beyonce remix pushed him.
It's remixes. They're a hell of a thing.
It's true.
They can kick you right up the chart.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Taylor's You Need to Calm Down actually starts with 79,000 downloads sold and 39 million streams earned, both in the week ending June 20th, as well as 24.2 million in radio audience in the week ending June 23rd. Also in the top 10 on the Hot 100, Drake scores his 35th top 10 as Money in the Grave, featuring Rick Ross, bows at number 7. He's just three, and by the he, I mean Drake. Drake's just three top tens away from tying Madonna's all-time record of 38
wow.
top 10 hits. It's only a matter of time.
It is.
It's, well, it's more like, when is it going to happen? Like in the next 2 weeks, a week, a month?
I need to go on the record to say like how wrong I was in last week's podcast, because I was like, oh, this the other Drake song is definitely going to be the bigger one. I like was so confident. Omerta was the other one. Which is the one that seemingly referenced Pusha T.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the one I 100% was hearing more about on Twitter. But for whatever reason, Money in the Grave, maybe people are huge Rick Ross fans. Maybe it got more radio airplay, maybe a million things. But it was clearly the bigger hit because the other one, while it did, Omerta did debut on the Hot 100, it was like way farther down.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So that's me saying I was very wrong. So there were two big songs that came out last Friday on June 21st that could likely make a splash on next week's Hot 100, and we need to talk more about them, Keith.
Okay, let's.
Okay, so the first one is Nicki Minaj's Megatron.
Megatron.
So she kickstarted a new era of music on Friday with her Megatron single and video. She also offered up a special episode of Queen Radio. This is just a quick aside. A real quick episode of Queen Radio on Beats 1 where she decided to call out Miley Cyrus.
Shady radio.
Oh, super shady radio. It's literally just her outlet for shade. Yeah, she really went like out of her way to go after Miley Cyrus, who they've had, you know, a simmering beef since like 2015. You can go to billboard.com and read our timeline of their beef. And she also relayed some good news about the fact that she's planning to get married to her boyfriend Kenneth Petty. They have a marriage certificate and everything. Like, they're going. It's happening.
Mm.
So, but back to Megatron. I like the song a lot. Like, I think that, you know, I think that a lot of the music from the last album lost a bit of fun. It was a little too, like, angry and, mm-hmm. like, ornery. And she was coming after people. And clearly she's still coming after people in real life. But this song is light, summery, fun. I can dance to it.
Well, we assume that it should make a summery splash, maybe on the Hot 100 next week.
Indeed. Okay, the other song that we need to speak about. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello released their new collaborative single, Senorita, on Friday, alongside a steamy music video. Sorry,
steamy,
you know,
is
it's funny.
Word here.
Before we watched the video, we were like, oh, like, let's prepare, you know, let's get ready to put a post up. And my, like, placeholder headline was release steamy song. And then we watched the video, and I'm like, yep. Like, let's just keep that. That's accurate.
You're like, it's a total guess, but it actually worked.
So this is the first time that the two have joined forces since 2015's I Know What You Did Last Summer, which peaked at number 20 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 10 on the Pop Songs chart. And Senorita has already debuted on the Pop Songs Airplay chart with only a couple of days, right?
It came out on Friday, and the Pop Songs Airplay chart runs Monday through Sunday, so it's Friday, Saturday,
so it's
Sunday.
It's just the weekend, yeah. And it debuted right into the top 40 at number 39 after only a couple of days of reporting, and likely to make a big splash on next week's Hot 100.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this, because
let's break it down.
When they started teasing this last week, it's like, yes, we need, like, these two are just, they listen, I'm not shipping them. Like, I know that they are,
I feel
just
like
friends.
You are.
I mean, it might be part of their appeal that people like wish that someday they'll find out that they have true love. But for right now, Camila very publicly has a boyfriend. Sean does not currently have a lady friend or any sort of friend at the moment that I know about.
I didn't know that Camila had a significant other.
Oh, so it's not very public then.
I don't know. I'm not also like trolling like her social media. I believe you.
I also am not trolling her social media, but I guess there have been just headlines about him. And they did walk a carpet together for the first time, I think, earlier this year.
Oh.
But this is me right now Googling his name to make sure I don't mess anything up. His name's Matthew Hussey. Yes. Sure. And he's like a relationship counselor. Like,
how in the world do you meet that person?
I don't know, but like, that's a pretty fun boyfriend. I feel like
if anything goes wrong, honey, what's going wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
You better
maybe it would be the worst.
It's like, why is this relationship going wrong if you're supposed to have these things figured out? Well, anyway.
Okay, so let's talk about why these two make so much sense together, like as a pop pairing.
Okay, well, before there was Senorita, there was I Know What You Did Last Summer. When that single came out in November of 2015, Sean and Camila were both rising stars and friends.
Totally different places in their careers than they are right now. Like, Camila was still in Fifth Harmony.
Yeah, all these things I've got noted.
She was still in Fifth Harmony.
Yes.
Sean's song Stitches, which was his first pop songs chart hit, was hitting number one on the Airplay chart.
Yep.
And Fifth Harmony was still basking in the glow of their first major pop songs hit, Worth It, featuring Kid Ink.
And actually, the song, I Know What You Did Last Summer, was written backstage during the Taylor Swift 1989 World Tour, where Sean was the opening act, and one night, Fifth Harmony was a special guest.
Did they entirely write it themselves? Are they the only? Yeah, I thought there were some other.
There's two co-writers, but evidently there's a story, if we want to believe, is it a wiki truth? Who knows? There's a story where he says he was backstage at that show and there was a bunch of people in his dressing room and he and Camila were just hanging out and like jamming on his guitar and they came up with like the basic core of it. And I'm sure the rest of the music and everything else was developed by other people as well. But I mean, I think she may have related even the same story to us on the Pop Shop podcast when she came by. Go find that podcast and listen to it.
Yeah, she came with her mom.
Yeah.
It was so sweet.
Yeah.
Earlier, more innocent days.
Yeah. And Sean's been on the podcast too.
Yes.
Hey,
he has.
I know, I have a great idea. Camila and Sean can both call us for the Pop Shop.
Do a joint podcast interview.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love that.
Let's put that into
the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The track went on to peak at number 10 on the Pop Songs chart and number 20 on the Hot 100. It gave Camila her first solo hit outside of Fifth Harmony.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and we don't know what's going to happen with Senorita yet, but it feels like that song had to, like, really work and claw its way up to its eventual number 20 peak on the Hot 100. And it was such a big deal for them that, you know, and I'm sure for Camila, it probably gave, you know, people in her career the confidence that, oh, yes, this is going to happen. Like, this girl is going to be a solo star.
Right.
But this one feels like it's just going to just breeze on in to, like, top 10, top 20. Like, who knows?
Well,
but, yeah.
The reason why it's just going to breeze on in is because when you look at where their careers are today, they are effectively both pop superstars.
Yeah.
Like, period.
Yes.
You know, while Mendes had logged a number one album before Summer with Handwritten, he's since, evolved into a steady hit maker, logging two more number one albums and seven more pop songs hits, including Senorita. Camila, meanwhile, saw her debut solo album, Camila, bow at number one on the Billboard 200 in early 2018, right? Yeah. And has collected a total of 11 hits on the pop songs chart.
That's wild for how short her solo career has been.
Well, one of those, and then three of those were actually number ones. One of them was Bad Things with Machine Gun Kelly. And then she had Never Be the Same and Havana, both from her Camila album. So it feels like this is a full circle moment.
100%.
For them to reteam now.
And it just, the whole thing is very seamless. It makes me want them to just keep, like, revisiting each other every 4 years with, like, a smash hot song, basically.
Yeah. I mean, they're both, like, worlds away from where they were in 2015. Sean's...
In what ways?
I mean, Sean's got, you know, three number one albums, bulging biceps, and a pair of Grammy Award nominations, including one for Song of the Year In My Blood. And, you know, meanwhile,
Camila has since left Fifth Harmony. She has, you know, found an enormous album with her solo debut album, Camila, and its singles. And she scored her own pair of Grammy nominations, too, including Best Pop Vocal Album for her self-titled debut, which competed against what project? What do you think, Keith?
You guessed it. Shawn Mendes and his self-titled album.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. They both lost to Ariana Grande's Sweetener.
I think they're okay, though.
Yeah.
Also, just the nominations at this stage in their career is validation, you know? Like, especially Sean had one in the Big Four. Like, that's just massive.
I mean, I think some people thought that Camila was going to get a nomination in the Big Four as well.
Well, she had a rough... Didn't they submit Havana, like, the year prior, but it was, like, before it was a hit, and so yeah. then it didn't, like, goofy, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Goofy, yeah. goofy Grammys. All right, so why do we like seeing Sean and Camila together on a song?
Okay, they obviously genuinely like love each other. I'm not saying that in a, you know, romantic way, but they clearly like, you know, are just a good fit.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that the story about them writing the song backstage, it's like they have chemistry. They make great things together.
It wasn't apparently set up by like, you know, some A&R like people scheming in the background of like, we should get these people together and have them make a hit.
Yes, exactly.
It was like, no, it was like a totally organic thing, and why
and
not?
I think in the beginning, we talked about this a little bit, but in the beginning, like, there was a lot of, like, whispers, rumors, like, are they a couple or whatever? Like,
that may have helped.
And it might have fueled the fire of I Know What You Did Last Summer, but I think people pretty firmly now, like, okay, we know that these are, like, homies who, like, have great chemistry together, and we're going to just watch them make out in this video. Like,
yeah. certainly, in the video for Senorita, as we said earlier, it's steamy. I mean, there are so many things that you would not expect that seem very unlikely for them to have done. You wouldn't have expected them to have done this in 2015.
Right.
I mean, like, I think... You know, back in 2015, they were both like young, burgeoning stars.
Yeah.
And they were both very sort of tween oriented. And I think now.
Fresh faced.
Fresh faced. But now, like, both are sort of both like.
They've grown up.
Yeah. I mean, like, Sean is like sort of a hottie. And,
right.
And Camila's.
Calvin Klein ads. And.
Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to put this delicately, but they're both sort of like sex symbols now.
Yes.
And they're both like older and. To see in the video, like, bulging biceps, I say that again, but also, like, Sean and Camila dancing together,
uh-huh.
and, like, there's a storyline, and he's on a motorcycle, and, you know, it's, like, this whole thing where it's, like, this is, like, worlds away, but it's only just a couple years ago.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's, like, so much has changed, and yet it's still Camila and Sean.
And we were trying to think of, like, a pair to compare them to. Like, you know, I feel like you get, like, a romantic duet between, like, a real life... you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife situation before, or you get like these pairings of people. I don't know. I'm trying to like, you get like your Peebo Bryson duets where it's like, you know,
Beyonce and Ed.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. Where it's like completely like it's clandestine, like situation.
Zayn and that lady who duetted with him on A Whole New World.
Oh, Xavier Ward. Is that how you say her name?
Or Zayn and Taylor Swift on I Don't Want to Live
right.
Forever.
But then there's these moments with I guess the answer is like there isn't a great example of this kind of like pair of like
friends
who also are just beautiful and you love seeing them interact and you realize that they have like
and
great.
If,
chemistry
and
together.
If there is, tweet us and tell us who we've absolutely just plumb forgotten.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, what was my example? Barbara Streisand and
Neil Diamond,
who they didn't even record their duet, you know,
originally.
In the same
that's
place.
A whole other mess. I mean, I don't know. It's hard. That's why this is like so special and unique,
yes.
Because it started off in such a unique situation. They were both kind of taking off in their careers. Camila wasn't even solo yet. And then now to circle back and say, like, look how far we've come.
Yes.
And goodness, what will happen in the next few years when they come back for the third duet?
Exactly. That's what it makes you wish that, like, I don't. Well, I remember actually, like, Justin and Christina touring together, like the stripped.
What if Camila and Sean toured together?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is like it's the start of something really cool that I feel like no one's really tapped into previously. You know?
Yeah, but that's like such. It's also weird because like Sean is like he doesn't have like dancers and stuff on tour. Like,
well, maybe
Camila
he's
going
to start doing a Spanish flamenco breakdown now that he has skills to do such things.
Sure. I think they probably do share an audience.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I think a joint tour would be fire for the two of them. I also think, I also feel like Senorita sounds like a sequel to Havana, which
yeah.
is like makes a lot of sense for Camila, but it adds like a little spice to Sean's catalog. Like you said, he does not dance, but this gives him an opportunity to like dance a little,
the
move
fact
a
that,
little.
The fact that he actually moved at all in the video, I was wildly surprised by.
Okay, so we love this.
Yeah. So
stay tuned for next week.
Stay tuned for the Sean and Camila full album.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the full album, but also stay tuned next week when we let you know where this ended up on the Hot 100, which we expect it to be, you know, high.
Yet another number two.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
And now, it's time for the chart stat of the week.
And I'll remember the strength that you gave me now that I'm standing on my own. I'll remember.
Okay, so all the number two peaking hits chatter from earlier inspired me to fall down a rabbit hole for the chart set of the week, because that is precisely what this portion of the show is designed for. Because 25 years ago this week, Madonna's I'll Remember finished off a four-week run at number two on the Hot 100 as the song slipped from number two to number five on the June 25th, 1994 dated chart. What kept I'll Remember from number one? That was All for One's I Swear.
Oh man, that was a big song.
Man, unescapable. Inescapable?
Inescapable.
Thank you. Guess what other songs I Swear blocked from number one, Katie? There's just two.
Please give me some hints.
One is by another hugely popular pop diva that has been successful
Mariah?
Since the 80s.
Oh, the 80s. Janet.
Yep. Anytime, Anyplace.
Oh, great song also.
And then the other one was a rap hit that was from a film at the time about basketball.
Okay. Love and Basketball? No, that was later.
Above the Rim.
Oh, okay. Is that a Spike Lee joint?
No.
Is it not?
I don't think so. Let me just tell you what it is.
Yes, I would love for
it's
that.
It's Warren G's Regulate.
Oh, I did not know that that came from a movie soundtrack.
Pretty sure it did.
And this is me telling you, you're right. Not a Spike Lee joint.
Well, you can look at the soundtrack section there on Above the Rim's wiki, and it'll probably tell you if Regulate is from
That's
Above
incredible.
The Rim.
That's incredible. Did not know that.
Well, now, incredibly, I'll Remember is one of six singles from Madonna that have peaked at number two on the Hot 100. That's the most of any act. She's also halted at number two with Material Girl, Causing a Commotion, Express Yourself, Cherish, and Frozen. All right, so now tying all this back to this week's news, if Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down doesn't hit number one, Swift will tie Madonna for the most number two peaking hits. Swift has also hit number two with You Belong With Me, Today Was a Fairy Tale, I Knew You Were Trouble, I Don't Want to Live Forever, and Me. So
I've got an idea for you, Keith.
Yeah.
I want you to hit up Madonna's publicist and if this happens and let them know so Madonna can like send a bouquet or something to Taylor as like a sorry lady
runner up you know
like join me in my like almost made it gang.
It's like we've got incredible number two hits together. All right, so there you have it. 25 years ago this week, Madonna nabbed yet another number two peaking hit with I'll Remember. Alrighty. That's the end of our big shoe. Any parting words, Katie?
Just can't wait for that 2023 Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello hit.
What song should we go out on?
Well, what should we go out on?
Let's go out with Express Yourself, one of Madonna's number two hits.
Yes.
Okay, bye.